Hey, I just want you to go and high five a few people. Hey, good to kind of start with a bit of, wait. Wait for the high five instructions. Shady, excited. You're not allowed to high five yourself, Nick. Some of that. Hey, just go and high five a few people and just say, man, God just loves your worship. Is that all right? God loves your worship. So go and high five a few people, move around, say good day, kia ora, kia ora. So good. So good. Man, Jesus loves your worship. Oh, so good. Even this crazy dancing guy. Jesus even loves your crazy dancing worship, bro. So good. Hey, morena. Kei te pihe a koe? How you doing? You good? Cool. Kei te pai, ho? Yeah. Kei te pai rawa. Atu, aho. I'm super excited. So pie is like good, but rawa adds like a indeed, really. So I'm really excited to be here. If I get my today wrong, feel free to come and be like, bro, I don't know what you're doing and sort me out, right? I'm learning. Buenos dias, if there's any Spanish folks in the house of God this morning. It's good to see you. Hey, I want to start with a super weird thing that's not on my sermon time. So if you're one of those like sermon time people, I'm not on the clock at the moment, so let me go. I went to the AGM on Monday night last week, the church AGM, and honestly, I start terrible, but I finish good, so don't freak out, okay? I was like, AGM, Jesus returned before it, please, other most boring things in the history of the world. I always make sure when I go to meetings that I think are going to be boring, I sit right on the edge, so that if they're boring, you can jump on your phone and like just, you know, kill a few monsters or do some emails or something. I made sure I sat beside Nick, because I thought Nick will be just weird, and sitting beside him, if it's boring, will be great. And he was very weird, but it was still good. Hey, but honestly, it was like this really awesome meeting. I was really shocked. So apologies, elders, for not having great faith in you, but it was really super interesting. I was sitting there the whole time just going, this is the greatest AGM I've ever been in. I've been in so many boring ones. The elders all shared about where we are as a church, where we're heading and stuff. Andrew did this, who does the finances, did this fantastic finance update. It's the first time I've ever sat through a finance update and not just been like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? He even had like different coloured shirts for strange little graph people on the thing, and it was so interesting. So I know you don't hear this very often, but I would strongly encourage you next year when you hear about the AGM, don't be like, oh, AGM. Oh, yeah, that's right, I've got to wash my hair and clean my beard and whatever. Be like, AGM, AGM, and like come with expectation. And whoever cooked that lemon cake, may Jesus bless you and praise you, praise you, because that was next level. Afterwards, it was like all this cake and stuff, and I may have had more than one piece of lemon cake because it was just, it's pretty ridiculous, so shot, team. Hey, let me pray, and then we'll transition. And yeah, now you can start your clocks if you're timing the... Nah, don't do that. Hey, let me pray, and then we'll get into a cool topic, eh? Yeah. Yeah. Morena, io. Kia ora. Kororia ki te mātua, ki te tamiti, ki te wairua tapu. Yeah, kororia... Ki te wairua tapu. Glory to the Father and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Holy Spirit. Wow. And I think as we journey further in our lives, i.e. as we get older, we understand more and more how messed up this planet is. We understand more and more how messed up we are. And to consider where some of us might be if it wasn't for the presence of you, Wairua Tapu, Holy Spirit, in our lives, I think some of us would shake with fear. Some of us would be dead because we would have made just foolish decisions and actions. Some of us would be in jail. Some of us would be separated, divorced. Some of us would be broken because of things we would have chosen to do or things that others would have done to us, attacks from the evil one that you, Holy Spirit, would not have protected us from. Man, we're just in awe of who we are now, but of your presence in our lives. Guide me this morning as we talk about you. God, ask of us good ears to hear what you want to say to us through the word this morning. Yeah. Yeah, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. This is the third in our kind of Trinity series we're doing. And I always think the Holy Spirit is often kind of the forgotten member of the Trinity. Does it make sense? Like, we often talk about the Father, and heaps of time we talk about Jesus, but we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, right? Part of my job at Pathways is I've been preaching in churches all over New Zealand for ages, and I won't tell you where, but I preached in a church somewhere in New Zealand, and I, long story short, but I ended up talking a bit about the Holy Spirit in one of my sermons, and afterwards, one of the ladies came up to me who was on the worship team, and she said, "Oh my goodness, we have never heard anyone even mention the Holy Spirit. This is legit in our church." And I was like, "What?" And she said, "It's so extreme that this, I think this is hilarious / terrifying, this next comment. So extreme that the elders actually removed any of the worship songs. They went through and edited all of them and removed any mention of the Holy Spirit. So if there was a Holy Spirit in a verse, they deleted it. And it was an older church, and so they still had those songbooks in the back of the pew things, and the elders literally went through everyone and cut out any reference to the Holy Spirit. It was that extreme. So this lady was like, "Wow, this is just crazy to hear someone talking about the Holy Spirit." Now, we're not that bad at CBC, but a lot of churches, like I've preached in heaps, and a lot of them, it's just there's no mention really of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Father a lot, we talk about the Son a lot, but we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. I'm not going to be controversial, but I just want to be clear where I'm going here. So if you remember, which I'm sure you're like, "What? That was like 3 weeks ago. What are you expecting?" When I preached on the Father, right, we did Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When I preached on the Father, I talked about the ontological Trinity, like excellent word that you can just crank out in casual conversation to amaze people with your deep theological brilliance. And the ontological Trinity is a way of talking about the Trinity, saying that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equal in their divinity, right? They're equal in essence, nature, and being. It's not that the Father is the big, powerful God and Jesus is a little bit, and the Holy Spirit's kind of like, he's the little. It's not like that at all, right? They are equal in divinity, right? Equal in essence, nature, and being. The Father is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. So is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Father is omniscient, all-knowing. So is Jesus. Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing. So I talked to the elders about this via email. And they said, yeah, because of that reality, it's fine to worship the Holy Spirit. It's fine to pray to the Holy Spirit because he's fully divine, right? So that's one of the things I want to unpack a little bit this morning is this kind of idea of how often do we really pray to the Holy Spirit? How often do we intentionally worship the Holy Spirit? So for me, I'm like, man, hardly ever. And it's just something I've never really thought about doing, right? So I love creation. Who loves creation? Anyone in here love creation? Oh, come on, all of us. We're amazing. What are we doing in a church? Madness. Should be in the bush. Be incredible. On the beach. Man, when I get into creation, I'm just overwhelmed by the beauty of creation. And I'll find myself just really worshipping the Father for his act of creating the world, right? Often I'll find myself worshipping and thanking God the Father for his incredibly tough role in securing my salvation and punishing Jesus for my sin, right? I find myself worshipping Jesus all the time, right? I talk to Jesus all the time. Same thing, if I'm in creation, I'm just like, whoa! Man, shot Jesus on creating these Nikkel palms. I'm just a Nikkel palm freak, man. When I'm in the bush and I see like a valley of Nikkel palms, I'm just in tears, lying on the ground, worshipping. It just blows me away, literally. And I'll be worshipping Jesus for his act of doing that, right? Man, when we take communion, which we're going to do today, I worship Jesus for his role in that, securing my salvation. When I think of him, Hebrews 4, right, I think of him interceding on my behalf before the Father, and I worship him. But when I come to the Spirit, I don't intentionally think, how do I worship the Holy Spirit? He was active in creation. He's active in my salvation. He's active in me now. Why do I not worship him? Why do I not pray to him? Right, that's kind of where we're going a little bit. A little bit this morning, right? And I want to be careful, because I know some of us, and I'm including myself, we grew up in churches where we just didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit. And if someone had stood up in the church I grew up in, well, I can tell you where it was, Matamata Bible Chapel. If someone had stood up back in the day, I'm getting old, I got some white, and said, "Let's talk about the Holy Spirit," people would have been running out, they would have burnt the church down, destroyed everyone, planted a new church. It would have just been kind of terrifying. So So if that's you, all I'm saying this morning is just journey, eh? Just journey with us a little bit. See where we go. We're going to read some verses. Check it out. So it's kind of the plan. Hey, here's the first point. The Holy Spirit is God with us, eh? The Holy Spirit is God with us. So just turn to a couple of people, give them a little poke and say, the Holy Spirit is God with us, right? Let me explain this, because I think we sometimes forget this, right? We sang that awesome song about Emmanuel, which means literally God is with us. In the Old Testament, God was primarily dwelling with people. He was primarily with people in two main ways, right? Through purely people seeing his glory, the presence of his glory, and through a crazy word called theophany, right? Which I'll explain in a minute. It's a fun word to say. We're going to say it in a minute. It's okay. So glory and theophany. So you remember in the Old Testament, you'd often see people would see the glory of the Lord. It might be lightning and clouds and flashing. Israel's led out of Egypt by the glory of the Lord, right? So they literally see a pillar of cloud guiding them and protecting them. Remember, it gets between them and the Egyptians when they're by the sea, or a pillar of fire at night. So they literally, that's God's presence with them. And then the other way is this crazy thing called a theophany. So who knows what a theophany is? Anyone know what a theophany is? It's a cool word. Let's all say it together. Turn to someone and say, theophany. Oh, Joel's got no friends. Sorry, bro. We all love you. It's all good. Everyone's saying it. So what is a theophany? Anyone have a shot? Yeah, bro. Amaze us. So close, bro. Very super close. It's good. So exactly that. Theophany. So theo, God. This is what he's breaking it down. And phony means appearance of. So it's an appearance of God in the Old Testament, right? So theophany, again, this is another great word to just crank out in casual conversation. You know, on Monday, people are like, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, I learned about theophanies. People will just love you. They'll be like, wow, tell me more. No, I'm being stupid. Don't do that. So what is a theophany? A theophany is an appearance of God in the Old Testament. And there's heaps of references to this, heaps of times that this happens. So it's where God takes on human form, right? So he's not human as in the incarnation. That's different, right? So in the incarnation, Jesus becomes, he's 100% human and he's 100% God. Now, this is not that. This is God just taking on the form of a human. Usually, all the times in the Old Testament, these theophanies, it's a man. We see heaps of them. So two real quick ones would be when God comes to Abram and Sarai, remember? And he says to them, you're going to have a son? And Sarai laughs because she's like 90-something. And it literally says her, has dried up, right? She can't have babies anymore. So she's like, oh. And then you think it's an angel, and then they go to worship the angel, and the angel doesn't stop them worshiping. And you're like, whoa, that was literally God appearing, right? Another one, we were going to look it up, but just because of time, we'll keep zooming on. Another one that's a real interesting one is in Genesis 32, which is where Jacob wrestles with an angel. We think it's an angel, but then at the end of it, after he wrestles with this angel, and it's this crazy wrestling match that he can't win, and you're like, ah, oh, and then at the end you find out he was wrestling with God, and you're kind of like, well, duh, pretty sure no one's going to like take God out. And God's like, no, you've got me trapped, help. You know, it's like God, he could just be like, zap, 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 which is what he does. He messes his hip, but another story. And at the end of it, Jacob says, whoa, I have seen God and I've lived, and it's God taking on this form. So in the Old Testament, right, the way God dwelt with people is quite distant, right? It's quite distant. It's the glory, it's these theophany appearances kind of things. Just a side hilarious note, interesting note, as I jog over here, I always think, what did God look like in a theophany? Did he look like Jesus? And I'm like, oh, do you know what I mean? Because Jesus in the incarnation, when he was in his 30s, did every time there was a theophany, did it look exactly like Jesus or not? Did he take on different forms? One day he's an old man. The next time he appears, he's a young, sprightly fellow like me. I don't know. I just find it interesting to think about. So it's kind of random. So it's quite distant. And then when we get to the gospel times, the life of Christ, it becomes a lot closer, right? So now the way God dwells with people is through the presence of Jesus Christ, right? That makes sense, are you with me? Yeah? Yep. Is anyone with me apart from Dave? Okay, it's two people. Nick? Oh, no, you're fixing your hair. Oh, don't do that. I was all excited that someone was with me, and you're like, sorting your hair. I'm so hurt. So in the gospel times, it's through the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is really with people now. You can touch him. You can have coffee with him if they drink coffee. You can talk to him. You can be with him. You see that, Old Testament's quite distant. Jesus, it's a lot closer. This is how God dwells. And now, and this is what I'm talking about to now it's so intimate. It's incredible, right? So now the way God dwells with us is he is inside us. He is within us, right? In the Old Testament, they would have the Holy Spirit could come on them, but he would never stay. There's a famous book, again, just don't have time, but there's David prays, and the points he prays is that, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me, because the Holy Spirit would come to anoint someone for a special mission, a special event, and then leave, whereas now the Holy Spirit is within us, right? Does it make sense, eh? And you can see this progression of God saying, right now, because of the sacrifice of Christ, and because we're secure in this relationship with God, now God dwells in us. It's like he's a part of us and like we're a part of him. And that's what, if you remember Dave, when he introduced this whole series in the Trinity, he unpacked those verses in John 17, which talks about that God is, that Jesus is with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit in the same way that Jesus is with the Father and with the Spirit. So the same way that the Trinity entwines one another in their oneness, even though they're three people, in that same way, the Holy Spirit indwells us, indwells each of you. And the thing, when I think about that, I'm just like, what the heck? That's awesome. It's not that God's kind of hovering around me, or he's, and I don't mean that this rude, that footsteps poem is cool, but in the footsteps poem, you have got Jesus kind of walking beside you. It's not even that. It's that he is entwined with who I am. My body, my soul, my spirit, my mind is intertwined with the Trinity through the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling me to guide me, to quicken my thinking and service for God, to stop that sinning thought, you know, all this. And I just go, man, that's nuts. I've been, because obviously I've been thinking about this sermon this week, and I just kept thinking in different situations, man, how ludicrous would this situation be right now if I wasn't indwelt by the Spirit, if he wasn't helping, guiding, protecting, stopping me being such an idiot, right? Man. So right now, the Holy Spirit is in us, right? Let's look at some verses. I got like a zillion verses this morning, so I've chucked them on the screen, most of them, so that we can kind of cruise through. So here's 1 Corinthians 6. You guys know this one real well, 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? It's that thing that he lives in you, right? Lives in you. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And it's just that middle bit that I love, eh? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Just a little side note, eh? I sometimes think we think that the Holy Spirit is only intertwined with our like soul, our spiritual side. And it's like, no. We're not like beings that are like, I'm body and I'm soul. We're not like that. We're a unity, right? We're a unity. And so the Holy Spirit indwells all of who I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am. The Holy Spirit is with me, indwelling me, empowering me, guiding me, quickening me. Yeah, I love that, eh? One of the things that's really strong when we look at the person of the Holy Spirit. So we're not so much looking at what he does this morning, because there's just not enough time, but we're looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we see again and again is that the Holy Spirit is this like, a guarantee of the full presence of God, right? So let me explain it, and then we're going to look at a bunch of verses. So what I'm saying by that is that at the moment, we're only kind of experiencing the presence of God because we're still in these messed up kind of human bodies living in this fallen world, right? And the Old Testament, but especially the New Testament, continually talks about, man, just hold on for that hope when we will see God face to face and we'll be with God. And there's a lot of verses that talk about, we have the Holy Spirit now, yep, and we're experiencing the presence of God now, but not in the full, mind-blowing way that we will when we see God face to face. Does that make sense? I'm just loving the enthusiasm this morning. Dave makes like this special coffee brew, so future Sundays, just make gallons of it, and everyone who comes in has to scull 6 cups before they're allowed to come into church. Here's a verse that explains it. 2 Corinthians 1:22. And he has identified us, so people who've become a Christian, people who are in a relationship with God, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. This is this key thinking, right? As the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. So he's identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. as the first installment that guarantees everything he's promised us. It guarantees it. You can see it. It's not. We don't have it all yet. We have this a foretaste of the full presence of God, but we don't have the full presence of God yet because we're still messed up humans and we're in a messed up world. Does it make sense? So two things on this. And this first thing, I'm a bit weird, so judge away. I don't care. Man, there's times in my life when I'm in the bush and I am so overwhelmed by the presence of God that I will literally just lie on the side of the track. And I think I've told you before, these hunters will walk past me and they'll have like a dead pig on their shoulders. Literally, this happened to me a bunch of times. And they're like, "You're right, bro?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Trying to be all manly because they're like covered in blood and got dead animals on them. And I'm just like, I'm lying on the side of the trail just worshipping because I'm so overwhelmed by the presence of God. Or like this morning, man, Nick and Harry, I know it's the God and all that, but you guys, that was a phenomenal time of worship. And I was sitting there, like standing there this morning, and I was thinking, man, this is only a foretaste. When I see God face to face, when I finally get the fullness of the presence of God, I think my head's just going to go, it's going to pop. God will be like, "Oh, Craig, again, I'll put you back together. Okay, we're going to pop, you know." But when I'm worshipping in the bush, there's times where I'm literally, and this sounds a bit weird, there's literally times where I'm like, "Oh, God, slow down. Your presence right now just feels so massive, so intense. I don't know if I can handle much more. Can I?" You know what I mean, eh? And to think, this is just a foretaste now of the promise that's coming. And I'm like, man, come on, God. I'm done with this stupid planet. Come, Lord Jesus, right? So it's this kind of foretaste idea, right? And here's what it will be like. Let me go back and explain it, sorry. So right at the end of time. So this is talking about right at the end of normal human time. So all that future stuff, millenniums and tribulations and blah, 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 great white throne judgments. All that stuff's happened. Now we're entering the new heavens and the new earth, right? Everything's made clean, sin's dealt with, we're seeing God face to face. And you see this verse. This is my favorite verse, I think, in the Bible. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look," it's kind of like, "Ha ha, finally, woo! God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." It's that middle bit I love. Look, God's home is now among his people who will live with them. It's this whole, the Holy Spirit is this foretaste, this deposit guaranteeing the fullness of what's to come, right? And so I just really encourage you in those times where you're feeling close to God, you're feeling his presence, just remind yourself, this is just a taste, man. This is nothing compared to what's coming. This is nothing compared to the full inheritance, the full promise I have coming. Does it make sense? Okay, let me give you a silly illustration. So on yesterday, so the car I drive at the moment is owned by the college. And so when I finish at the college, I have no car, which is disastrous. You know, how could I survive without a car? What is this madness? That was a joke, because isn't it terrible that I desperately need a car? So really? Have a bike. Ride to work. And so Jason and I went and bought a car yesterday, which was terrifying. One of my most hated things in the universe, having to do anything to do with buying or selling cars just terrifies me. But we're brave and powerful, Jason. We bought a car, yay. And they needed to get a warrant and clean it and all that kind of weird stuff. And so they said, give us a deposit, and then we're picking up the car like on Thursday. And so we gave them some money now and then walked away with nothing. And it's kind of like, what the heck are we doing? Giving you all this money, take it down the wall, you know, we will see you soon, sort of thing. But I have a receipt, right? I have a receipt, which is in my laptop bag, which is somewhere back there. And my receipt is proof that on Thursday I can go back there and pay the rest of the money, unfortunately. But the receipt is proof that something really good is coming, a car, right? I don't have the fullness of the car right now, but I kind of do, because I kind of own it, but I don't really have it. But on Thursday, I'm going to be like, yeah, baby, donuts all over the place, driving home. No, it's probably going to be Joseph's car, so there'll be no donuts, right? So it's the same thing now. It's like I have a foretaste, right? I have the Holy Spirit guaranteeing that I am owned by God. The Holy Spirit is guaranteeing that I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm tasting the presence of God now. I'm tasting the guidance and the clarity of thought and the instruction and of the Spirit now, but it's like, that's only a little bit, man, because the car is coming, baby. You know what I mean, eh? Man, I just get excited about that. I'm getting all goosebumpy again. Man, I don't know what it is with goosebumps. I love that verse, eh? Side funny note, do you realize in there he's basically saying Genesis 1 and 2? Always cracks me up, right? He's basically saying, and finally we're back to the whole plan A. Plan A was God in the garden with all of us hanging out, and it was amazing, and there was no sin, and there was beauty. And then we ate this stupid fruit, and then we did all this Old Testament and sacrifices and Jesus and church, and now we're here where we should have been in the first place if we didn't sin. And we're like, oh man, that whole Bible, if we didn't sin, we wouldn't have. Does that make sense? Okay, some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about, bro? Okay, one of the things I want us to think about, obviously, is with the Holy Spirit being God with us, how is he with us? How does he guide us? How does he direct us? How does he instruct us? How does he convict us of sin and stuff? And there's a verse that I love that makes this real clear. So here's Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I love this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. I love that first bit, right? This is how the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us. He advises us. He watches over us. He doesn't force us. Anyone ridden a horse? Ridden a horse? A few people? Okay, let's try it again, because I know you're all liars, or heaps of you. Who's ridden a horse? See, there's a lot more hands. So we're in church, of all places. You're not allowed to lie in church. No, I'm joking. I've had good experiences on horses and disastrous experiences on horses. Horses are cunning, evil things. I grew up at a camp. And camp horses are the smartest horses in the universe. They know what to do. And a lot of our horses, because you don't have a saddle at camps, you're just like bareback with reins. And the horses learned, this is a true story, they learned that they would go out to a trough and they'd drop their front shoulders, put their neck down, lift up their butt, and nothing you could do, and you just slide straight into the trough. And I remember at Tortoise Springs seeing dozens, hundreds of kids do the, into the trough. The horse kind of just laughs and wanders off, right? I love to say, don't be like a senseless horse or mule. The way the Holy Spirit comes to us is he guides us in a loving way, right? And the catch is it's then up to us whether we obey and whether we listen, right? So let me give you an illustration. This is a pathetic illustration, but it's the best I could come up with. There's two ways that we control things, right? There's two ways that we interact with things in our lives. One is mechanical and one is personal, right? So the mechanical way we interact with things would be like a toaster, okay? So imagine a toaster. When you go up to a toaster, you push a lever, right? That's the mechanical way. We push something, we type in something, and it has to respond, right? So who loves toast, man? I'm a toast freak. I just love it. Peanut butter and jam on toast. Thank you, Jesus. None of that Vegemite rubbish. Marmite all the way. When I go to the toaster, Jesus would only have eaten Marmite. In the original Greek, no, I'm joking. When I go to the toaster and I put in the bread, not the toast, when I put in the bread and I push the button down, never, ever has the toaster said to me, oh, I don't know, Craig, it's been a hard day, can we talk about this whole toasting? You know, never, I've been toasting for like 6 years now, can we have a break? You know, never, it just goes, toast, yes, obey, right? That's the mechanical, the personal way, though, is... when I talk to someone I care about, when I'm in a relationship with someone, I don't push a lever and force them. We discuss and they journey with me and I journey with them, right? The Holy Spirit, that's the way the Holy Spirit acts with us. He journeys with us. He encourages. And that's these words, right? He guides us. He advises us. He watches over us. God is in love with you. So he journeys with you, right? You're not a toaster, yeah? Turn to someone and say, you're not a toaster. Yeah. Because God loves you, right? To be blunt, and this is a scary statement, to be blunt, I really wish there were more times in my life when the Holy Spirit treated me like a toaster. Because sometimes I'm an idiot. And I know the Holy Spirit's like, seriously, don't do that. And I'm like, oh, no, it's all good, bro. We're all good. And then later on, I'm like, man, you should have just gone toast, Craig. And I've been like, yes, obey. But I'm an idiot. Hey, one of my favorite verses in thinking about the Holy Spirit and the way he journeys with us is in Ephesians. So I read a devotional in YouVersion. Love using YouVersion app. If you don't have it, I encourage you to get it on my phone, on my iPad. And I was reading a devotion by John Piper, who's a famous writer, theologian, and he was reflecting on Ephesians 1. So let's read Ephesians 1, and then we're going to look at some quotes from him. So here's Ephesians 1. I was going to look it up, but I've got my Bible. So I do have a proper Bible, but just I had so many verses, I thought, oh, I'll put them on the screen. So here's Ephesians 1. It says, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. Every time I read that, I'm just like, woo! I love that. I love being owned by Jesus. It's cool. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. And here's the same thing we were just talking about, right? The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. Amen. Wow! He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Let me read it again. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. It's this deposit, right? It's the receipt, remember? That he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. I love the clarity in this. So the next quote, it's kind of long, but we'll read it a couple of times. So I love this quote. This is John Piper reflecting on these verses. God's great desire for his people is that we feel secure in his love. I just love that, eh? I just want to stop for a second and go, man, we are so blessed as people. One of the primary reasons that we have the Holy Spirit in us is to give us security, right? To know that God loves us, God owns us, God cares about us. Man, I just love that. God's great desire for his people is that we feel secure in his love and in his power. Everything else in life may be unstable. Our health, our family, our job, our education, our society, our world. At any of these levels, you may feel as if you are out on a ledge, 40 stories up in an unpredictable wind. You feel yourself losing balance and falling, and every brick you grab pulls out of its mortar. God is so passionately committed to having a people for his own possession who live forever for the praise of his glory that he is not about to let our eternal destiny depend on our native powers of willing or doing. He commissions his Holy Spirit to enter our lives and to make us secure forever. Let me just explain it a bit, and then I'm going to read it again. That second paragraph is talking about God, you're so precious to God. He loves you so much. He sacrificed his son to bring you into a relationship with him. And now he's not going to leave your future just up to your willy-nilly mad craziness. He puts the Holy Spirit within you to secure you as his own, right? To remind you that you're his own. I love that, eh? Let me read that second paragraph again. God is so passionately committed to having a people for his own possession who live forever for the praise of his glory that he is not about to let our eternal destiny depend on our natural, you know, powers of willing or doing. He commissions his Holy Spirit to enter our lives and to make us secure forever. Man, I love that, eh? I love that. Let me read the verse again, and then I'm going to read another little quote from him. So I wanted to come back to the verse so we're getting our truth from that, not just from like John Piper's wisdom, right? When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. Amen. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And then John Piper now, he kind of paraphrases the verses, and he's expanding it a little bit to include other verses from Ephesians 1. And I just love this little paraphrase. Again, it's a bit long, but you guys are all good. Okay, let me read this. In Ephesians 1:14, which is what we're just looking at, God is saying, my great desire for those who believe in me is that you feel secure in my love. I have chosen you before the foundation of the world. I have predestined you to be my children forever. I have redeemed you by the blood of my son, and I've put my spirit in you as a seal and a guarantee. Therefore, you will receive the inheritance and praise the glory of my grace forever and ever. I love that, eh? I tell you this here in Ephesians 1 because I want you to feel secure in my love and my power. I don't promise you an easy life. In fact, through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom. Let me say it again. I've chosen you. I have predestined you. I have redeemed you. I have sealed you by my Spirit. Your inheritance is sure because I'm passionately committed to magnify the glory of my grace and your salvation. You know, I just love the power that verse brings out, right? I love how he, in his paraphrase, says it a couple of times, that we're secure in the love and in the power, which is a key theme of Paul's in Ephesians. Man, it just amazes me, eh? the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I just want to do a little side note, eh? I was thinking about this a lot this week, and one of my big thoughts in going through this is CBC is a welcoming church, eh? We love everyone, man. We don't care what's going on in your life. We don't care what you've done, what you're doing, what people have done to you. We just love you. Last time I checked, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And there's no like asterisks, and down the bottom it doesn't say, except for these certain people with these certain lifestyles or that have done or doing these, there's nothing. It just says God's a love. So CBC is a church that loves everyone, accepts everyone. And we want you to feel that you belong. And we don't care if you don't believe exactly what we believe yet. We're praying you will. But we want you to belong and be part of this awesome community. But in saying that, we want to make sure that you know if you are in a relationship with God or not. And there's always a danger that you come to church and we talk about we're all saved and we're all Christians, and you might be like, "Am I? I don't know." So, in going through this and talking about the security that we have in the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to pause and say, "Are you sure? Are you sure that you really do have the Holy Spirit living within you, entwined with who you are?" If you're not sure, then don't risk it. This is not something to be like, "Oh yeah, we'll sort it out." It's like, no. This is heaven and hell, life and death stuff. So the way I know I have the Spirit in me is that He guides me. He directs me. I don't hear Him audibly, but I know He is guiding me. I know sometimes I do something loving that didn't come from me. Because I'm not a super loving guy at times. I can be a complete jerk. Do you know what I mean? I know sometimes I want to go and do something evil, and it's not just my conscience stopping me. There's someone greater than me within me guiding me and calling me back. There's times of worship, like I said in the bush, where I'm just overwhelmed. There's times of worship in church where I'm just overwhelmed by the presence of God. Now, I say this real carefully. If that's not you, if you just didn't associate, didn't connect with what I just said, then on what basis are you thinking you are in a relationship with God? On what basis are you saying you have the Holy Spirit within you? Again, we love you. Pumped you here, man. We're all on a journey, and it takes ages to figure out all this crazy Jesus stuff, right? But I just wanted to pause and say, man, if you're not sure, please come and talk to someone afterwards. There's amazing people in here that love you and would just about burst into tears with joy to be able to talk to you more about what does it really mean? How do I know I'm in a relationship? How do I know I have the Spirit within me? Yeah. Does it make sense, eh? Yeah. Let me pray and then we're going to carry on. Let me pray for us all, eh? Yeah, kia ora atua. Yeah, your love for us is extreme. It is incredible, eh? The sacrifice of Christ in our place is just unbelievable. Yeah, we know ourselves, eh? We know our ability to sin, our ability to have bad thoughts, our ability to do dumb things. And to know that you care about us enough to die in our place, Jesus, is just incredible, eh? Yeah, right now, though, I just kind of pause and ask you to, if there's anyone here that's not in a relationship with you, maybe they think they are, maybe they're not sure yet, eh? I just pray you, through your Spirit, would give them boldness, would give them clarity of thought to either process this just with you, which we know can happen, or to come and talk to someone and say, "Man, I don't know, eh? I think I am, but I'm not sure. Man, how do I figure this thing out, you know?" Yes, speak clearly to us, Jesus. Speak clearly to us. Holy Spirit, eh? Yeah, draw us to yourself deeper and deeper. Yeah. Yeah, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you just jump? Josh, can you jump down to the grab a friend one, bro? I had another whole point, but I'm thinking we've been going on for ages, so we'll jump down. Can you chat the grab a friend? Okay. Hey, so just grab a friend and have a little chat for a minute. Hey, it's good to have a bit of interaction so it's not just some amazingly bearded fellow up here talking all the time. I'll just read these questions out and then grab a friend, have a little chat. Here's question one. These are pretty full-on questions. Do you perceive any difference in the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to you in your Christian life? If so, can you explain what that difference is and how you're aware of it? So do you perceive any difference in the way the Father, Son, Holy Spirit relate to you? It's kind of a wild question, eh? It's not you relating to them, it's them relating to you. And here's the second one. This is a really cool one. If the first one you're like, oh, just do the second one because it's easier and not as scary maybe. Have you ever been especially aware of the Holy Spirit's empowering in a specific situation of ministry? I thought that's a real cool question, right? This could have been while you're doing evangelism or counseling, Bible teaching, preaching, prayer, worship, leading a home group, serving a youth group, doing basically anything, right? How did you perceive the presence of the Holy Spirit at that time? What made you aware of his presence? So have you ever been especially aware of the Holy Spirit's empowering in a specific situation? How did you perceive the presence of the Holy Spirit? Is that cool? So grab a friend, have a little chat, and then we'll wrap it up. Cool. Kia ora. Okay. Kia ora. Kia ora. Whakaronga mai. Listen back this way. Is that all good? Hey, anyone want to share anything? Anyone had a good chat with someone not too terrifying beside you and thought, ooh. Anything you want to share about either of those questions, eh? All good? Yeah, bro.
I like your second one, and I think that, like you were saying, the Holy Spirit's intertwined in our beings.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel as though that maybe we need to turn them on and turn them off.
Yeah.
And our whole expression of life, whether it's what we speak, what we do, we can have input into people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a really good comment, eh? I love that, eh? Did everyone hear that? It's good, eh? It's cool. Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I keep thinking about this week is that so often the way we experience God's presence now is actually through other people. It's through their love, through their care, through their words spoken to us. So it's a great word, bro. Yeah. Raywin? Wow. Yeah, cool.
So it might be shaking or it might be tears.
Yeah.
I mean, often we cry and we're not actually relating that to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, eh? So Raywin's saying sometimes it's a physical feeling of, shaking, tears, something.
Burning.
Yeah, burning, yeah. Goosebumps. I'm a goosebump guy. Like I was goosebumping hard out on the way to church this morning. I had this worship music cranking. And at one point, I was just so excited. I was like, and I literally said out loud, bad luck ears. And I just went, crank. It was so loud. I was racing on the freeway going, ah, it's so funny, goosebumps. Nah, that's good, Raywin. Really good, eh? Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Anyone else? Yeah, Grant.
Yeah, one time, Chris and I were doing this Boulder Skills program.
Yeah. Wow. Well, up to you and Christine, because you're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. It's crazy, eh? It's so, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool, eh? That's so cool. And I love how you can't put God in a box. So you do that next week and it all turns to custard and you're like, what the heck? That's good. That's awesome, eh? Awesome, man. I love that, eh? Okay. Anyone else? We're all good?
For me, I love it how, when I go packing stuff, I just really ask God, ask the Holy Spirit if he has something for me to share to somebody.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And I left it and she went through the checkout and I kept Nah. And I keep leaving it, got out to the trolley bay, and he's like, compliment her. And I thought, well, that's going to look stupid. I'm going to walk along to her car, then come back. And I loitered in the trolley bay.
Loitered. Yeah.
Speaking to your child, I said, I can tell you're a beautiful mum.
Nice.
And she just burst into tears and grabbed my arm and said, you have no idea how much I've needed to hear that. She said, my toddler had an accident 2 months ago.
Wow.
It was my fault, and I can't move on as a mum.
Wow.
And so I didn't feel led to say anything about God, and I
Yeah, that's great.
And I left it at that. Off she went off. I went, but she drove around the car park looking for me.
Yeah.
And I was loading my groceries into my car, and she stopped and she said, "Look, I really want to express to you how much it means to me. I haven't been able to move on as a mum."
Wow.
And I said, "Well, you know what? I talk to the Lord every time."
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. To speak through me to you.
Yeah, so awesome.
That message that you're a good mum comes directly from
me to you. So good. That's good, man. That's cool, eh? Man, who would have thought that the Holy Spirit hangs out at Pack and Save? That's so good, eh? And it's that terrifying thing, eh, if you'd been like, again, you're not a toaster, last time I checked. And you could have been like, nah, too scary. And then that lady misses out on that blessing from God.
Yeah. I was going
to say, I was
just
going to
compliment
you. I mean, that's pretty lame. That's weird, eh? Yeah, God knows. He knows what he's doing, eh? No, it's so beautiful. Hey, let me finish, eh? We're going to move into communion. I just want to finish with a little crazy thought, eh? This is, you guys know this, eh? Galatians 5. Let me read it. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. I'm singular, right? So the idea is you can't just choose one. They're all, it's fruit, and this is what is part of that singular fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to take communion and... can the band come up and make me sound super spiritual? That'd be amazing. I'd just love to encourage you to think about worshipping the Spirit as you take communion. If that's not where you're at, no pressure, eh? Just think about it. I don't think I've ever done that during communion. And one of the things I was thinking about a lot this week, and I kind of said it at the beginning, is this is not my natural, right? My natural Craig is totally not this. It's the opposite. I'm quite a lot of a jerk, and if you saw inside my head, you would freak out and run away going, what a psycho. But there's times when I am really loving towards my ano te pai hoa wahine, my excellent wife. and I want to be more loving, but I know it's the Holy Spirit helping me to be more loving. And I just go, man, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life, I would hate to think where I would be. I'd love to, in a way that I just burst into tears for a few hours, I'd love to sit with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. And have him go, hey, Craig, let's watch a video of what your life would have been like if the Holy Spirit wasn't in there, guiding, directing, stopping you from being an idiot, leading you to talk to someone at Pat, you know, all this. And then I want to show you another video of the ripples that have gone out from your life because of those times of obedience where you obeyed and you were more loving, more filled with peace, more joyful, more. Does that make sense? Jason and I have got some crazy stuff going on in our life at the moment that I want. It's pretty massive stuff. And I woke up at 11:30. Last night, and I was in a cold sweat, freaking out, just overcome. I was freaking out because it's big stuff, right? And I was like, what am I going to do? I need to sleep. I got a sermon. And then I was remembering this verse, and I was like, peace. Oh. So I just lay in bed for a while just praying, Holy Spirit, I need your peace right now. I'm freaking out. And it's not like, oh, get over it, you blouse stuff. It's big, scary things. And it took time. Again, I'm not a toaster. But God led me to this place of peace, and within about half an hour, I was like, man, God's got me, right? The Holy Spirit's, he's got me. I'm secure in him, right? And And we better sleep. Thank God. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit to call out to, I would have had a horrible night of freaking out and stress and worry. What about you, man? When we take communion, you know, you guys know this, but the bread reminds us that Christ's body was broken for us, right? Broken for us because of his love for us. His lifeblood, when we take that juice, his lifeblood is poured out for us. He's like, there's nothing more I could give you to prove to you that I love you. And a part of that journeying as a Christian now is the reality, the security, the deposit that we have, right? The receipt for the car that we have within us, that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I'm a proof that something way, way, way better is yet to come. I'm journeying with you, I'm guiding you, I'm watching over you. So maybe as you take communion, hey, it's up to you, but you know, maybe take some time to thank again Christ for his sacrifice. And then maybe just sit with the Spirit for a while and talk to him. Worship him for the action he's doing in your life, that you are more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind than you really should be because the Spirit's within you. And thank him for that. Worship him for that. Is that cool? Let me pray and then we'll take communion. Yeah. Wairua tapu, we're in awe of your presence in our lives. I'm sure there's times that some of us in this room, even as Christians, we've done the most amazing sins. And you didn't run away in your purity, but you stayed. You loved us, you restored us, you brought us back into that full relationship with God again. Yeah, Jesus Christ, we're always just in awe of your sacrifice for us. And Father God, thank you for depositing within us the Holy Spirit to remind us to be a foretaste of the fullness of presence that we'll have with you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the time that's coming, and we just can't wait for that, eh? We worship you as a Trinity, God. Ki te ingoa o te mātua, o te tama I te ko te wairua tapu, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.